My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
What's going on, everybody? Justin Morgenstein back with you for another edition of Phillies Today. Big series win for the Phils. Big series sweep for the Phils as they sweep the Rays, move to 30 games over 500, 88 and 58 to be exact. 8 up on the Mets for the division, 9 up on the Braves, 1 up on the Dodgers in the National League. So the Phillies are currently sitting with the best record in all of baseball, and more importantly, the best record in the National League. So they're 1 up on the Dodgers for the number one seed and 4.5 up on the Milwaukee Brewers as of this Thursday night into Friday morning in the National League. So they're in a good spot with a chance to kind of step on some throats in the next week or so here. And most importantly, the magic number is in single digits. It is down to 9 games. And to me, the biggest thing to take away over these last few weeks with the Phils is that they're back to playing really good baseball. And it's at a pretty decent sample size here at this rate. And they've won 9 of their last 11. They've won 14 of 18, 19 of 27, and 23 of 36. So that's a stretch that has gone on for well over a month at this point, which is very promising stuff. And we'll do some series notes from the Rays series, including what was a pretty ridiculous night on Tuesday down at the ballpark. Was there, was pretty cool. And talk lineup, pitching staff, bullpen. That is all of a sudden that bullpen regained its form to being one of the best units in the sport. So excited to break that one down for sure. And as always, we will end the pod with a preview of this weekend's series against the New York Mets, which is a 3-game home series at Citizens Bank Park against the second-place team, the National League East. So really excited to get into it. Let's do it. Want to jump right in here. I think the biggest positive takeaway from the last few days against Tampa, which, you know, by the way, people are saying the biggest series win against the Rays in franchise history. But anyway, this lineup is finding a way, even with all the guys banged up right now, to produce, to get runs across, and to do enough to be able to, you know, kind of ride off this pitching staff and put up enough runs to win ball games. And you have Boehm on the IL, you have Bryce banged up, you got JT banged up, Hayes on the IL, Sosa on the IL, and then the Schwarber elbow thing happens the other night, which I did not appreciate, but they continue to find ways to just get it done and get wins with whoever they put out there night in, night out. And by the way, we should see JT as well as Schwarber back on Friday night for what Rob Thompson has said. JT coming back from those knee issues, which again popped up earlier in the year and required surgery, but I would assume just some general catcher wear and tear with JT right now. And Schwarber was a weird back pick play the other night, and he slid in there and his elbow got banged up a little bit, and he was supposed to be in the lineup on Wednesday, but it was a last minute scratch, and I would assume they just want to give him the full 2 days there. So But for those guys who have been playing, awesome series for a couple. Trey Turner, who's looking healthy, looking dynamic, and looking like the Trey Turner that this team paid $300 million to, which, you know, if you remember, he wasn't looking as dynamic or as athletic as he, you know, typically does right after the hamstring injury. It looked like he was kind of, you know, being careful and being cautious, just not wanting to push himself too hard, which I totally get considering he came back in what, June, July? So I understand that. But he is looking much more spry and much more, you know, quick as we're accustomed to with Trey Turner. He obviously has the two-homer game. He made a phenomenal play on a ball down the left field line, which you know, was out of the reach of, I forget who was in left field, but he goes out, runs, and makes a terrific play and uses his speed there, which obviously is such a weapon for him. So I'm really excited about what Trey has kind of done over the course of, I would say, the last week, 2 weeks, and I just think that if you get a Trey Turner is obviously one of those guys where the variance of, you know, the highs that come with Trey Turner, the lows that come with Trey Turner, probably the most gap that you could possibly have. It just, it seems like when he's going well, he can carry an entire lineup, an entire offense, you know, behind, you know, his swing, which is always something that you appreciate. August of last year, after the ovation, we saw him do that where he just went on an absolute tear for a month or so and kind of carried this offense. And I think he's been able to do that a couple times over the last week. So that is really good to see from Trey Turner there. And Bryce Harper, even though Bryce is hurt right now, clearly a power outage. That has something to do with the elbow and wrist issues. He's been incredible since mid-August now, aside from the power. Now, in fact, since his last home run, which most people know is against the Diamondbacks in Arizona, all the way on August 9th, over a month ago. But here's what his numbers look like since that homer. He's hitting .324 with an .850 OPS, WRC plus of 141. So even though, you know, it's funny, he's kind of turning into like a Luis Arraez right now, just with the, you know, slap hitter mentality and getting singles and doubles. He's turned into a, you know, a little slap hitter here. Even with the power outage, it goes to show you how good of a baseball player, and more specifically, how good of a hitter he is. The fact that he can transition and still be able to provide a lot to this lineup when he's hurt and when he's clearly not at his best. And even though I'm certainly concerned about it, definitely concerned about it as October creeps up here, I certainly wouldn't put it past him to kind of do what he did last year, do what he did in 22 once he hits that one homer and just starts going off. So that's kind of where I'm at with Bryson. People forget he had two of these stretches over the last 2 years. 22, obviously going into the postseason, was, you know, not hitting for power whatsoever. And then in game two, off Miles Michaelis, hits that homer in the first inning, and boom, we're off and or I think it was first or second. Yeah, it was the lead off the second inning because he was hitting fourth that year. You always forget that Bryce hit cleanup during that 2022 postseason run. But yeah, to lead off the second inning against Miles Michaelis in St. Louis, he hits that homer to right field, and then boom, off goes 2022 postseason Bryce Harper, hitting home runs left and right. And last year, he had a stretch where he struggled to, you know, hit the ball for power as well. He went through a major homerless drought there, I think in August of last year as well. So he's done it before. He's turned it on just like that at the snap of his fingers. So I would not put him past it. I wouldn't put it past him to do it again. But obviously, if Bryce isn't hitting for power, it's a concern going into the postseason because he has been able to carry them solely based off his power so many times and has hit so many big home runs for this baseball team in the past in the postseason. So again, that's where I'm kind of at with Bryce. I expect it to probably come back at some point, but if it doesn't, certainly a concern. So we'll see. Schwarber, man, is he just awesome or what? I know this is probably the Kyle Schwarber fan podcast. If you probably listened to the last couple, just considering I did the last one off of that, you know, crazy game in Toronto, and he's had another great week this week before he just got banged up. But he's just awesome, man. It seems like he's going to be okay after getting after the elbow incident on Tuesday night. Where, you know, the weird pickoff play again just slides in weird and said it was a little elbow, I guess, just hyperextension, I would say. But he passed that night to lead off the game. He passed Alfonso Soriano with his 14th leadoff home run of the year. And it's a rough season for the take Kyle Schwarber out of the leadoff spot, people. Been very quiet this year. The calls at WIP, not as many take Kyle Schwarber out of the leadoff people this year, which is always, you know, just great to see. And, hey, he's still batting around .245, .250, and it has just been really impressive to see what he's done. And the fact that he's still been able to hit for as many homers as he is hitting for this year, which is, you know, has the potential to get to 40 again, which I'm not sure if we see it happen, especially considering he has been out the last couple of games. But again, we talk about how you wouldn't put it past Bryce to potentially, you know, go off in the postseason. I wouldn't put it past Schwarber to go off for maybe, you know, 42 homers by year's end. He's at 35 right now with 95 RBI, 251 batting average. So he is just incredible. And I just keep on preaching this. He has to be extended this offseason. I don't care what it takes. The fact that he sets the tone the way he does in this lineup by leading off, by walking as much as he does, still leading the National League in that category, by hitting the leadoff homers, which again, the Phillies, I don't know the exact record, but it just feels like whenever Kyle Schwarber leads off with a home run, this team has a very good chance to win that ballgame. So because of all that and because of the leadership that we see he exemplifies in the clubhouse, and Cal, he's kind of the vocal leader out of this group. And, you know, we know Bryce is kind of the do-it-by-example guy, and, you know, Kyle's the vocal leader in that clubhouse. I just think with all of those elements combined, there is no way you could allow Kyle Schwarber, I think, to play for another baseball team in his career. Like, I think Kyle Schwarber needs to be a lifer in Philadelphia, and he needs to, you know, after he's done playing, keep him in the organization somehow. Get him on the coaching staff. Do something. Kyle Schwarber needs to stay in Philadelphia for the rest of his life. I love Kyle Schwarber, man. He's so fun to watch. And you can't miss an at-bat with him either, because he's just always putting up such a competitive at-bat, and he's a joy to watch, truly, night in and night out. So Kyle Schwarber, hopefully back on Friday. It seems like that's what Rob Thompson has indicated, despite him being scratched on Wednesday. So would expect Kyle Schwarber to be leading off as the DH in Game 1 of the Mets series on Friday night. So Nick Castellanos finally had somewhat of a quiet series until Tuesday night with him getting plunked. And by the way, just while I'm on that subject, just an insane game altogether. I go down there. I'm with my mom. Love spending the night at the ballpark with my mom, by the way. That was great. And you had all of the following happen in one night. You had Schwarber, like I just mentioned, breaking Soriano's record. You had Trey hitting two homers. You had the fan interference on the Harper ball, which, you know, of course, because he can't buy one right now, comes up just inches short of a homer, and that kid reaches over with his glove, and it's fan interference, and he gets a double. And then you have a surefire double down the line, which ends up hitting the umpire, but ends up not mattering because you put up five runs in that bottom of the eighth inning. So all of that stuff just made it for an insane game. One of those fun, kind of quirky nights at the ballpark where you'll be like down the road, oh, remember that game where all that, you know, crazy stuff happened? But all that takes a backseat to Nick getting plunked by Edwin Uceda because, you know, he's getting rocked by the Phillies lineup, which includes Buddy Kennedy and, you know, the rest of those guys. And I love how the team responded, obviously, between Bryce, Strom and Ranger coming out in the street clothes. And if there was any doubt of how close this group of dudes are and how they just always have each other's backs, that just showed it right there. And it was at least a good reminder. And I'm glad they didn't start throwing haymakers, though, because the last thing that this team needs right now is anyone else getting banged up. So that was exciting. I don't know if I'd ever been in the ballpark for a benches clearing. Like, I was trying to think back, because I've been to a lot of games, and I guess they don't happen maybe as often as you might think. They happen, you know, a few times a year around baseball. Probably, I would say, you know, 5 to 8 times a year in baseball, and maybe more than that. I don't know. But I think it was the first time I saw a bench clearing in person, so I was riled up. I was ready to get out there myself. But, no, it was pretty cool to see, honestly. And, yeah, so Nick was a good reminder, you know, just how close this team is, and they all love Casty. And also, there's nothing better than a post-game Casty quote. I mean, he is just, when he's cocky and confident and things are going well for this baseball team, there is nobody who can give a better post-game quote than Nick Castellanos. And he just had a couple gems this week. So that was good to see from Nick. He cracks me up, man. And of course, the next night, he follows up, you know, everything that happened there with a homer in his first at-bat on, again, a somewhat significant date. Nick Castellanos, he will never let the bit die. So, again, quiet a few days from Nick. That's the start of the series and the couple games prior. But he seems like, you know, he's back into the mix with things, and that is good to see. And good stuff from Nick Castellanos. So, also, when it comes to the lineup, I have to shout out this guy who feels like every time he comes up from AAA all he does is come up with big knocks?
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
That's Cody Clemens. I mean, it feels like every time Cody Clemens comes up from Lehigh Valley, you know, he's getting a big hit. He's having a big at-bat. Even in that Toronto game, well, obviously the one to talk about right now in the race series is the walk-off hit, but even in that Toronto game where Schwarber hits the home run to take the lead, he has a phenomenal at-bat before to get on base and just kind of set that whole thing up. So it just seems like Cody Clemens is going to give the Phillies kind of a difficult decision to make as they head towards the postseason, because you would expect that he's probably on the outside looking in terms of the postseason roster, and Weston Wilson, who's a right-handed bat, probably gets the nod there just because they need the right-handed bat. But Cody Clemens making it tough, man, and I would not be shocked if they found a way to get him on the postseason roster, because it feels like he could come up in a big at-bat and say, you know, Johan Rojas is in the game. We'll see what happens with Austin Hayes. He's still dealing with that kidney infection, and you know, if Johan Rojas is in the game and Brandon Marsh is in left field, you know, they could go to Clemens in a big at bat there and potentially, you know, move Marsh and, you know, switch some things around there. So would not be shocked to see Cody Clemens on the postseason roster. I know it's kind of a numbers crunch, but I feel like he's earned it. He really has, and just always feel pretty confident with Cody Clemens coming to the dish. So good stuff from the lineup. They did just enough in this series, even though I'm going to say the pitching staff, I've mentioned it before, it feels like if this team is going to do what we all hope, which is, of course, win the World Series, parade down Broad Street, all ending happy, this pitching staff is going to be the thing that carries it there. And it's what they did again in this series. Wheeler, just an incredible job on Wednesday night, getting out of some jams against the Rays team, who is really just god-awful with runners in scoring position. And I know Jack Fritz and James Seltzer talked about this on their High Hopes podcast, and apparently the Rays are one of the worst statistical teams of all time with runs in scoring position this year. I think it's the fifth worst team of all times with runs in scoring position, or batting average with runs in scoring position, and you could believe it this week because it was just really, really bad. Wheeler strands a leadoff triple last night he's able to get out of, a couple leadoff doubles as well, and you know, that's obviously a credit to Wheeler as well, because the strikeout stuff from Zach Wheeler and just the stuff in general, it's just so good, man. And it stinks because he's not going to win the Cy Young, because it looks like Chris Sale kind of has a stranglehold on that thing, and he's been really impressive this year. It's a shame because Zach Wheeler probably should have won it in 2021 when Corbin Burns did, but he has had just a phenomenal season and just continues to pitch well. And I don't know if there's anybody that I want for one game to pitch in a win-or-go-home scenario than Zach Wheeler. So excited to see another postseason of him and just how much He can continue to help this ball club as he turns into really, you know, one of the all-time great Phillies pitchers. He is just continuing to put up some phenomenal numbers and some numbers that'll go down in, you know, this franchise's history is some of the best we've seen. And he's going to be up there with Doc. He's going to be up there with, you know, maybe not some of the guys that are as tenured as Carlton, but he'll go up there with Schilling, just guys who were really, really dominant for a short period of time. And it hasn't even been short at this point. It's been throughout pretty much the entire contract since he's come here in 2021. So great stuff from Zach Wheeler. And you know, also great stuff from Chris Sanchez. And I think it's pretty clear now that he's become the number three starter for this team when it comes time for the postseason. He's been phenomenal all year and has been one of the best stories on the team. The ground ball rate, the velocity, the stuff, it's all taken a major leap forward this year. And he's given you every indication that this is for real. And this can be sustainable over the course of the new contract he just got. And he's still, you know, velo is up to 96, 97, which if you were to tell me a couple years ago that Chris Sanchez was doing this type of stuff, I would have said no way because he wasn't doing that. And it's a credit to Caleb Cotham, but it's a credit to Chris Sanchez for the most part because that type of development is really key. And it's what the great organizations do. And the only weird thing still, the home road splits, he's just so much better at home for whatever reason. And it does allow for the conversation of should he start game two of division series when and you have Nola start for game three. It probably won't happen. It most likely definitely won't happen. But I think it's an interesting conversation at the very least. So, again, great stuff from Sanchez there. Ranger, not so great on Tuesday night. It just feels like the velocity and the stuff with him has been down ever since he got back off the IL. He's kind of sitting 89, 90 with that fastball and sinker right now. He gave up the double-digit hits to a Rays team, which, again, I mentioned, not a base hit, put the ball in play type of club. They're kind of walk, homer, strikeout, kind of three true outcomes there. And so definitely could some concern, but I will say, if you look at his September numbers over the last couple of years, have been great. Yet he's managed to put it all together in time for the postseason and ride to the occasion in some really big spots in the playoffs. So I feel like that's something that probably Rob Thompson will lean on, and I still think he should be the game four starter as of right now. But based on his pedigree in the postseason, it's something that's probably going to be a conversation as the time nears. And people might not agree. He might end up being the game three starter, and Sanchez ends up pitching game four, which I would definitely disagree with. But, man, it is, again, this is why your starting staff is going to be the thing that carries you to a title, just because of how dominant the three guys have been between Nola, Sanchez, and Wheeler. And if Ranger can get back to anything like that first half form, whew, it's a tough team to beat in a series. It really is. And Nola goes on Friday night, didn't come off of his best outing, kind of got lit up by the Marlins last weekend. But he's been really good for a long stretch here and has been one of the most consistent pitchers in baseball, still doing the Aaron Nola eat a ton of innings and pitch 6-7 innings, 1-2 runs, just giving your team a chance to win a ball game every night. And I thought against the Marlins, he was just leaving a lot of pitches up in the zone, which typically happens when he struggles, and just being able to command the fastball and keep the knuckle curve down, avoid hangers, is kind of what he has to do there. So fine with Nola. It happens. I just think that was a little bit of a blow-up outing, and he'll have a chance to right the ship tomorrow night against the Mets. So the number five spot, don't even really know what to say about it at this point, other than the fact that they'll only need to worry about it for three more times or so. It'll be Colby Allard next, who I guess is the best of those options at this point. The only reason they probably didn't go to him last time is because with the way they optioned him down, he couldn't come back up until September 10th. We are now past September 10th, so he is back up. And so we gave the Seth Johnson thing a try, like many people, myself included, wanted to, but the fastball did not have much action to it, and he struggled to stay in the zone as well and just got lit up down in Miami. So he was not the savior, unfortunately. But again, won't have to worry about it soon, and you just hope that Allard can come in and have some of the same results he did in the first couple starts he had here, especially, you know, that one against a really good Royals team where he gave up one run in, I think, five or six innings, I believe. So we will see how he does this weekend on Saturday. Wanted to get the group who was probably most responsible for, or at least a major reason why they were able to sweep the Rays, some credit here, and that was this bullpen. The first guy I need to mention is Jose Alvarado, because he's getting me excited. That is seven straight scoreless outings now for Jose. Five since he's come back from the personal leave he had to take. And three straight 1-2-3 innings. It seems like he's got a really good feel for that cutter again, which is obviously a huge thing for him. Something he's developed when he went down to AAA in 2022 and was kind of key to him becoming a shutdown reliever that year. And obviously, staying in the zone is a major thing that has to happen for Alvarado if he's going to be effective. And if he's able to command that fastball for strikes, command that sinker, you play that cutter on righties and it gets in on him. He's just electric. And so I'm not all the way back in on wanting to put him in these super high leverage spots, but he's definitely your second lefty in the bullpen right now behind Strom in terms of, you know, trust and Tanner Banks being your middle inning guy who is there to get a tough lefty or two. So feel really good about Alvarado and feel really good about Orion Kerkering as well. He's been incredible as of late. Put out a big time fire the other night when it was a 4-4 game, Rangers struggling. It was first and third, no out, gets out of that jam. And it just feels like so many quick innings with Kerkering right now, which is obviously ideal. And while it stunk that he kind of had to hit the wall in the postseason last year, I think that the experience is definitely going to help as we get into the postseason this year. And in fact, like he started an A-ball last year, which is crazy to think back and how far he advanced. And to go all the way from single A to pitching big innings in the postseason last year, that was so much to ask from a guy like that. He's throwing the fastball more. He's throwing it with confidence, which is a big thing, and throwing it with conviction. Obviously, we know the sweeper is just the sweeper sweeps. That's all you got to say. It's just a really good pitch, and it's great to see because a good Orion Kerkering in this bullpen just lengthens what you have even more. And Strom and Hoffman, back to trusting them with my life, as I think everyone should. Would prefer Hoffman to probably be the biggest high-leverage guy in the pen heading into the postseason and probably be the closer. Depending on, you know, if you're playing the Dodgers and you're facing, you know, Ohtani, Betts, and Freddie Freeman, I would probably want Jeff Hoffman in that, even if it's in the eighth inning. But just getting the biggest moment in the game is what I want for Jeff Hoffman. And Strom is the same thing. He's just been really, really impressive. And honestly, against those lefties, I'd probably want Strom in there. But nevertheless, I would probably want Hoffman in the biggest scenario and Strom against a really tough part of the order there as well. So feel really, really good about those guys. Estevez, I pretty much feel the same about. Blew the save on Monday where the ball is essentially in Johan Rojas' glove, but just falls out and landed in the bushes. I felt horrible for Rojas, by the way. He did everything right there. Made such a really good break on the ball. It was really tough to see him not get that. But anyway, he's going to give up his hard contact, but I still think he can get big outs. And it's not a Kimbrel situation like last year where everyone knows he's cooked and it's only a matter of time before he burns you. I still think that they can have some sort of trust in Carlos Estevez to get big outs in big scenarios. So you have those five guys that you feel comfortable with out of the pen this year in Strom, Hoffman, Kerkering, Estevez, Alvarado, with Banks and Jose Ruiz in there as well. That sets up for what is by far the best bullpen this Phillies team has had going into a postseason over the last few years. So that is something to feel really, really good about as we head towards October. So with that, let's get into a preview of this Mets series this weekend where the Phillies face a pretty hot ball club that has come in off a big win in Toronto. They were getting no hit into the ninth inning yesterday. Lindor, who has been arguably the National League MVP over the course of the second half of the season, hits a massive home run, and they ended up scoring a bunch of runs in the ninth inning to win the game. So they've been on a really nice stretch here. And again, the Phillies are up 8 with their magic number currently at 9. So they have a really good opportunity to finish kind of this division off this weekend. And I'll start with Nola Friday, as he looks to bounce back from that Marlins start. He'll go up against Jose Quintana, been pretty solid as of late, coming off 6 2/3 scoreless against the Reds in his last outing. And by the way, Nola's had some nice performances against the Mets in the past, it feels like. Had that complete game at Citi Field earlier this year, so feels like he's some pretty good numbers against the Mets. Then you have 4:05 start on Saturday with the latest rendition of the adventure, the number 5 spot, with Colby Allard going up against Luis Severino, who has been a revelation for the Mets up in Queens this year after they grabbed him in free agency, as he's pitching to a 3.74 in 166 innings pitched in 2024. And then to wrap it up, on Sunday afternoon, it'll be Chris Sanchez going up against another guy who's been a revelation for the Mets this year in David Peterson. And up until his last start, was flat out dominating. You can ask me. He's been on my fantasy team, by the way, in the fantasy playoffs right now. Wish me the best of luck. If you're out there in the fantasy playoffs right now, good luck, man. I am just, I won the championship last year. I'm looking to go back to back. So very fired up about the fantasy baseball squad. But anyway, David Peterson, we've been really good, except for his last start, was, I think, up in Toronto. He kind of got shelled a little bit, 5 runs, 4 2/3. But he's 9-2 with a 2.98, and he has been really good for the Mets this year. So that'll wrap it up for this edition of Phillies Today. big weekend ahead. I'm excited, maybe a little nervous, but mostly excited. And hey, just win 2 of 3. For Phillies Today, this has been Justin Morgenstein. And for Phillies 24/7, this has been Justin Morgenstein. Have a great weekend, everybody. See ya.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ready to expand your financial game? NerdWallet can coach you on smart strategies like choosing investments, finding your next credit card, and setting a budget that works for you. Score major points towards your summer vacation by learning expert tips for choosing a high-yield savings account and how to build wealth by investing in index funds. Slide into summer with smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Future you will thank you.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.